Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. So today's episode is inspired by two things.
Two.
And I only put one in the outline, so the other one is a surprise.
Yeah, you got me.
The first one, the main one being this article from 2010 that I read out of The Atlantic called The End of Men by Hannah Rosin. And it really got me thinking, and it's the basis of a lot of what we're going to talk about today. And I mentioned it in our Hello 2020s episode. And this article examined the ways that our society is slash was, because it was written 10 years ago, shifting in terms of power dynamics. And it's really fascinating. It's the kind of stuff I really like thinking about.
Right.
And yeah, we wanted to talk about some of those things. And she went on to write a book about all of it called The End of Men and the Rise of Women, if you want to check that out.
Right. So disclaimer before we get into this. This discussion is largely centered around Western civilization, and in particular, the U.S. But all of this certainly has global implications, and we will definitely get into that as well. Mm-hmm. And a good bit of this is skewed hetero as well, so especially head of the household stuff. So you're going to get a lot of the normative ideas.
Yeah.
So just go ahead and put that there.
Yeah, and that actually is a good segue into my second reason.
Ooh.
Yes. A couple years ago, when my dad, first got really ill, the effects were really making themselves known, my mom and I were in the kitchen, and she was kind of saying, well, what are we going to do about this and this and this? And I jokingly said, perhaps with a little alcohol in me, well, I can be the man of the house. And I was talking about this is so stereotypical, gender stereotypical, but he did the grilling. I'm like, I can do that. That's fine. I can carry heavy stuff. I can do that.
Right.
So it was just this idea that got in my head that we still have this sort of men do this and they are the head of the house.
Right.
And the fact that I just said it jokingly really got me thinking. And so we wanted to take a look at how that is changing.
Right. And of course, this has become a bigger conversation.
Yes.
And it's getting more and more elaborate because you and I couldn't stop talking about some of the things that we were researching. And I'm like, we need to do this.
Yes.
Because it just became such a whole big storm of underlying issues or even questions.
Right. And that's actually probably another good disclaimer to put in here. This is obviously perhaps very complicated.
Right.
There is a lot.
Right.
A lot of factors going on. And it's hard to point to things and say, oh, it's this.
Right.
It's this thing. And that means it's all going to move this way. It's just so convoluted and
right.
complex.
Anything with sociology is going to be ever-growing and ever-changing.
Right.
So that's an obvious disclaimer to everything when we talk about ideas or ideology.
That should be a blanket disclaimer for every episode we do. So we did want to start with a couple of key stats and definitions, one being post-industrial economy, because that's something we're really talking about today. From the dictionary, that is a phrase that describes the shift of some major industrial economies in the late 20th century away from producing goods and toward producing services.
And with that, college degrees. Women earn 3 to every 2 men earn. So 60% of women earn a bachelor's degree in the mid-2000s. And there was even concern about the growing gender gap at public universities. Some elite liberal schools were investigated by the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights under the grounds that they were discriminating in admissions in order to maintain what they regard as an appropriate gender balance. And when research suggested that being male increased acceptance rates by up to 9%, it was regarded as an, quote, open secret and an acknowledgement that men just needed a little help.
That's a quote, too.
Yes.
They asked an admissions, dean of admissions, and he said, well, men just need a little extra push.
Like,
they just need a little help.
Aww.
What? As of 2015, 72.5% of girls who had graduated high school were enrolled in 2 or 4 year colleges, compared to 65.8% of boys. 56% of college students were women. And I found a whole infuriating essay arguing that women were just entering college at high rates to get an MRS. So they were going to drop out when they got married.
Of course. That's where you're going to find your husband, yeah?
That's what I've been told.
Well, I failed horribly.
I did too. Another way we didn't achieve.
Damn it.
Blast. And this college degree thing, for better or worse, is a big deal when it comes to finding a job in our post-industrial economy. For a long time, men without college educations could depend on manual labor-based jobs, but those jobs are disappearing, and they are going to continue to disappear. After the recession, almost 8.5 million of the about 11.6 jobs created required a college degree.
And there's been recent research at every level of education looking into why boys underperform when compared to girls. And all kinds of reasons have been suggested. Curriculum bias towards girls, brain chemistry, all the such. And studies have found, too, that boys who do well in school get made fun of more than girls, often with some sort of insult comparing them to a girl. Oh, no.
The worst.
Right?
Yeah.
Surveys have found that girls are more concerned about getting good grades. And maybe we could say that we, too, hold girls at a higher standard and punish them more when they don't meet those standards.
Yeah, I remember the first time I got a B and I was grounded, and I can't tell you about my brother's grades compared to mine and how little they were grounded. Well, I'm not bitter about it.
Right. I think for me and my brothers, there was always excuses why they didn't do well. Now, my oldest brother's a genius, and he did well everything he did. My older brother, I'm the youngest, he didn't do as well. Mm-hmm. And there was reasons as to why. And he was just not that type and all of those things.
Right.
As where it was just expected. So when I did make those good grades, I didn't get celebrated. It was just like, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, that's your baseline.
Right, of course. Like, it wasn't that I was punished if I didn't do well. It was just like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course you would.
I made an 89 and got in trouble.
I made 1 C.
Oh! My heart didn't actually hurt at that.
It was like the 5th grade, though.
It's fine. It's all fine.
We're such nerds.
We are. That's okay. To combat these things we were talking about boys underperforming compared to girls in schools at young age, especially, researchers have suggested all kinds of things, from all boys classes, giving boys more time on test, and allowing them to walk around the classroom. And the U.S. is not the only place this education gap is occurring. There are a lot of articles you can find in different countries where even up to the government, they're looking into this and why it might be. And then, once you move out of college, let's look at the workforce. A majority of the fastest growing job sectors are currently dominated by women, with notable exception for STEM jobs.
Which is changing.
Yes.
So 2010 statistics from the U.S. Department of Labor found that women made up over 50% of accountant positions, over 50% of professional/managerial jobs, over 50% of banking and insurance jobs, and 45% of law firm associates. Also, 33% of physicians.
Yes. And as we discussed in that Hello 2020 episode, a lot of the jobs that are being automated are in sectors traditionally dominated by men, while jobs that can't be so easily replaced, jobs that require interpersonal skills like listening and empathy, have long been dominated by women. And to be clear, as we've said numerous times, women aren't naturally better at those things. We're certainly socialized to be better at those things. But there's nothing stopping men from going into, say, nursing or teaching, jobs like that. A lot of the articles on the subject brought that up, and that women have been able to adapt to traditionally masculinized jobs, but men haven't been able to or are unwilling to adapt to feminized jobs. Women are more likely to adopt traditionally masculine traits like assertiveness along with traditionally feminine-coded traits, whereas men still largely avoid being associated with feminine traits. Sexism. It hurts everybody. It hurts everybody. It will be interesting to see if men do eventually move into these jobs, especially if the compensation goes up, as has happened so many times before, like in computer engineering.
Well, as a social worker, that was one of the big pushes, trying to get male students as a part of the actual demographics, and they being told, they were told to their face, you will get paid more, you will move up faster, because you will be one of the few men in this field.
Whoa.
Yeah, wow. I remember that, and I remember looking around going, what's happening?
Okay.
I mean, I think she was saying that as just a statement, and not necessarily as a pro or a con. It was just, this is what's going to happen. You should stay in this field.
Oh, wow. Like this is the reality of it. Mm-hmm.
So women in leadership positions, particularly management, have risen, though we still have a long ways to go. Wage gap, obviously, is still a big, big problem because we continue to talk about it in almost every sector, in almost every field.
Right.
What did that recent study say? You and I were talking about it was like, it only take, 257 years for the gap to close.
Only 257.
Everything's going to be perfectly fine.
Sure, the world will be totally
years.
Cool.
Right, as is, I'm not burning in flames right now.
Yes. We have high hopes. High hopes.
Such hopes.
And then, let's talk about this head of the household thing. Women still do a majority of unpaid domestic work. We talk about that all the time, like cleaning, cooking, and childcare. They make up most of American consumer choices and spending and control a good chunk of the financial decisions, although there is conflicting data on that point. In either case, it's close to 50%. So they're controlling a lot of what's going on in the household. Working mothers are the primary income earner 4 out of 10 times, and the average working mom brings home about 45% of family income. This means that the traditional family dynamic is changing. And then, of course, there's the life expectancy. In the U.S. and most countries, women have longer life expectancies. American women live 5 years longer on average here in the United States.
Right. So that's a good thing.
Maybe. I mean,
if we could be
that's
provided
more.
For.
Yeah, exactly. That is a longer of an expense you have to pay for. And if you aren't making money, or there's a wage gap, and you should have more money, then that is a bit of a problem.
Right.
Actually,
so, let's look back on the past.
Let's do it.
Shall we?
Yes.
So things are changing very rapidly. The 70s, when American women started entering the workforce en masse, happened to coincide with companies moving their offices out to the suburbs for lower rent.
Right.
Obviously. Who did they find ready and eager to fill those positions?
Women!
Yes!
Yeah, they did. Yes, they did. Also in the 1970s, a man named Ronald Erickson started leasing to clinics what he touted as the first scientific method of choosing the sex of a baby. He grew up on a ranch, and he would show up to presentations in a cowboy hat and boots, sometimes using a pointer made out of the cartilage from a bull's penis.
Yeah.
Also, his ranch is the backdrop to the Marlboro Man's ranch. That's his place, so that's kind of a picture of this guy. He was such a presence that People magazine pitched a television miniseries about him called Cowboy in the Lab.
I mean, sounds like a winner. Sounds like a hit.
That's just so 70s to me. I don't know if it is, but for some reason it feels very 70s. But not everyone at People was a fan of this guy. In a 1984 write-up on Erickson, Roberta Steinbacher wrote, "You have to be concerned about the future of all women. There's no question that there exists a universal preference for sons." So her concern being, everyone's going to choose boys. If this technology is available, everyone's going to go with boys.
Obviously.
Right. But it turned out this was not the case. A couple of decades later, in the 90s, Erickson surveyed the 20 or so-ish clinics that offered his method and found that more people were choosing girls as opposed to boys, despite the fact that advertisements tout it as more successful at producing boys. And yes, I think this is still a thing. You can still do it.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. Erickson claims that women used to timidly request for a girl, like maybe they'd say, oh, I already have a son, I'd like a girl. But now, and this is a quote, they just call and say outright, I want a girl. These mothers look at their lives and think their daughters will have a bright future their mother and grandmother didn't have, brighter than their sons even. So why wouldn't you choose a girl? Another company that does pretty much the same thing called Microsort purportedly gets about 75% requests for girls.
I wonder if part of that is also they know that the girls will take care of them
interesting.
You know, in geriatric level.
Mm-hmm. That is a good point. Always looking out.
I'm thinking about what's going to happen to me when I'm old. Like, who's going to take care of me? Peaches is definitely not going to take care of me.
It's true.
So that's huge when we think about the history of women being property and of not having access to opportunity. Men have been in power just about everywhere for, you know, forever.
Yeah.
So queens murdered for not having sons, bearing an heir. Ancient Greek men allegedly tied off their left testicle in the belief this would increase their chances of having a boy. And if you wanted a girl, you tied off the right and ate a lot of salad.
Yes. There are so many hilarious history jokes about salad. I have a whole book on them.
Maybe that's just the whole thing, you know.
Oh, whatever. It is.
Okay. I mean, just in general, salads somehow get you laid, somehow get you a girl. Okay, whatever. But all of that maybe is an aphrodisiac, which I still hold to the point that that's not sexy. I've never been sexy eating a salad, just so you know.
Actually, okay, the salad is the only food item I've read that it's an aphrodisiac, but it's the only food item I've done on my other show, Savor, that we found was referenced as not an aphrodisiac.
Yeah, no way. It's not sexy. I've watched myself eating salad. And it's not pretty.
You get the long leaves and they're just...
And then you just start shoveling more because it's not tasty enough.
And then you're choking.
And then you're like spitting out half the tomatoes. I mean, and then the dressing is dribbling down your face.
It's
not sexy.
It's not. We agree on this point.
Eating it makes me feel sexy because I'm like, you know, salad's delicious. But okay.
Anyway,
I digress.
Yes.
The importance of firstborn sons as the most valuable in things like the Bible, as we know. Or if we look at more modern things like China's one-child policy and the clear preference for boys, that's having an enormous impact to this day. And we see that. We see that as a conversation. We see that as policy changing as well.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of places. And I think if you do look back at the Bible, and if we even look about inheritance,
yes,
and rights, and who has rights to property, mm-hmm, even not up until recent, who gets claim?
Yes. Yes. I actually have in my family an example of the man of the family inheriting everything over all of the women in it. But anyway, Rosen also details the example of South Korea, where up until the 70s and 80s, women who didn't have boys were often abused, forced to be domestic servants. That started changing when restrictions around women in the workplace were lifted and droves of women went to universities and got jobs. And then things just snowballed from there. Laws changing to give women more autonomy and agency, owning property, keeping custody of their children. In 1985, a survey of South Korean women found that over 50% said they must have a son. In 2003, that number was only 15%.
Okay. So it makes economic sense that countries that embrace all of their people as resources, as opposed to just half of them, would have more success. So there's sort of a domino effect of countries taking note of the financial power of women in the workplace and following suit. Political quotas have played a role in this shift as well. So indicators are everywhere. 40% of private businesses are owned by women in China, and about 50% of entrepreneurs in that country are women, which is amazing because the population is 45% women.
Yeah.
So that's amazing numbers. A couple of years ago, women in China protested after some universities put policies in place that made it harder for them to gain entrance after the acceptance rate tilted towards women.
And then in 2009, Iceland elected Prime Minister Jóhanna Sigurðardóttir, the first openly lesbian head of state. She ran on the platform of ending the, quote, age of testosterone, pointing to the damage done by the rich men who ruined that country's banking system.
She's not wrong.
The age of testosterone. Woof! Some evidence suggests that our post-industrial economy might just be easier for women to navigate. During the 2008 recession, 75% of the 8 million of American jobs lost were held by men, with a lot of traditionally male sectors getting hit the hardest. And that brings us to a section on some backlash and fallout to all of this. Are you surprised?
What?
Yes. But first, it brings us to a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride, we're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites!
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way!
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear!
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool!
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. And yes, we're back with some backlash to all of this.
So let's talk about that. So the nostalgia election of Trump. There is certainly an argument to be made, and has been made, that working class men, afraid of their place in this new economy and all of the social change, helped elect Trump. Nostalgia is a very powerful thing, and of course, so is fear.
Yeah.
Which is trying to start over again. That's scary.
Yeah.
And thinking that you've lost your good privilege and your place in life, which was nice and comfy, is all of a sudden questioned.
Yeah. And I mean, comfy and coal mining, maybe not. But you had a set job, and you were secure in that job, and it's being threatened now. Right. And I feel like it was one of the most annoying things to me personally during the election cycle and post-election, when there's precisely 1 million news stories on older white men who used to mine coal, and they're really mad about it now, and they want it to come back.
Right.
Well, the world is changing.
Right. It's burning.
Again, literally, to reiterate, the world is burning. Thank you for listening.
End of story.
We always strive to leave you on a high note, feel upbeat. As part of this backlash and fallout, one of the most interesting things I found, or that Hannah Rosen found and I got to discover thanks to her great work in that article, male support groups that have sprung up across the country, but particularly in areas hardest hit by the changes of post-industrial economy, like in areas that were big in coal. These groups focus on things like coping with job loss or shifting family dynamics. Mustafa Elskari leads one such group in Kansas City, mostly populated by men required to attend after not paying child support or something like that. On one of the nights Rosen attended, Elskari lectured, quote, "What is our role? Everyone's telling us we're supposed to be the head of a nuclear family, so you feel like you got robbed. It's toxic and poisonous, and it's setting us up for failure." Then he went to the whiteboard and wrote, $85,000, this is her salary. Then $12,000, this is your salary. Who's the damn man? Who's the man now? That's right, she's the man.
It's a great movie.
Amanda Bynes.
I'm just saying.
Oh, wow. What a throwback. I wasn't expecting.
You're welcome. And though it's not a support group, it does seem like unsolicited conventions and programs are popping up, promising to make men manlier or more badass and women great again. And I know, I'm sure you guys have referenced or heard this reference, and I'm not going to elaborate anymore, but it includes a promise, because you and I went on to sites to look at these things, including a promise to increase your femininity by 500%, which, by the way, is hilarious and frightening because I'm cool with where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm imagining is, like, I would just constantly bleed for years and years and for the rest of my life. That's the level of femininity that I don't ever want to be at.
So it leads to your death.
Just, like, forever periods for the rest of your life.
Oh, gosh, that sounds horrible.
Right. That's the 500%.
Oh, wow. The 500% guarantee. I'm not sure I want 500% more of anything.
Right. Which is like, how do you prove it? Where did this number come from?
Are we saying these conferences aren't scrupulous?
Is it meaning that I will forever turn away from men altogether because you've scared me away from men in such a way that I just want to go into my hut and my island of my lady friends and those who are
I'm into that.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or my friends who identify as females or non-binary and just hang out with them.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a beautiful world.
I think that would be the complete opposite of what they would want.
But that's 500% feminine.
That's true. They didn't think this through. They didn't think it through. Who could believe it?
Who knew?
There are other issues, too, other backlashes, I guess. The boon of men inheriting a family business or a farm might now be more of a curse if the business does not make a profit in our modern economy or the farm doesn't. The women would or could go off to the city, get an education, a job, and when they return, if they ever do return, the men feel like their status isn't up to par compared to that. Statistics show that compared to 1970, when 84% of women between the ages of 30 to 44 were married, nowadays it's only about 60%. Some of the reasons suggested for why that might be are that women can't find men with comparable education and income, and that's something that's really important to them. And I'm sure you all probably heard the headline, pretty sure we've mentioned it on this show before, that semi-recently made the rounds about how the researcher, male researcher, said that while marriage benefited men and children, he did not recommend it for women. He said that in the article. He said single women are, quote, the happiest group of people, which is such a reverse of how we're portrayed in everything.
Such a huge reverse, and for a man to say that even.
I know.
So we're seeing this play out all over our media, too. The displaced man who feels lost, like a loser. So, like, films Knocked Up, 40-Year-Old Virgin, She's Out of My League, Noah Baumbach's Greenberg, and even Yes, these underachievers usually do still get the woman that is, quote, out of their league.
Right.
And we've seen the backlash trope of the cougar and the double standards therein. However, as Gail Collins wrote in the New York Times, the trope is more and more starting to look like desperate young American men who are latching on to an older woman who's a good earner, a.k.a. every other Tyler Perry movie ever.
Yes.
Just saying.
Uh-huh.
Just saying. So up in the air, the whole plot is about George Clooney, multiple Sexiest Man Alive winner, who plays a dude in the midst of layoffs, told by his younger female coworker he's too old. And then he finds out that the woman that is his age, he just hooked up with, and consequently, of course, falls in love with, is married with kids. The betrayal.
Yeah. And that's such a huge flip, too, because normally that would be...
Right.
I mean, it's George Clooney.
Right.
And normally that would be the woman. She falls in love after having a casual hookup.
Right.
And she finds out he's got a family.
Oh, no.
But it's flipping. And, of course, there's a lot of double standards we could talk about here, especially with the cougar. We got to come back to that one day. Because we just had a good idea for a horror movie based on Freddy Krueger, but the cougar... anyway.
My slip up.
Yeah, your slip
new
up.
Movie title.
That's the best kind of slip up.
Yes.
That is the best kind of slip up. In Jessica Gross's Slate article, Omega Males and the Women Who Hate Them, she details the Omega Male, who are men who are unemployed and have trouble in the romantic department, men who were told as boys that they'd grow up and have everything, could be anything, and then that just didn't happen, and sort of what that results in. If we look at the future, and I was thinking personally how I've seen things change, I have seen a lot of what we're talking about reflected in my own friend groups, where my female friends, they say, look, here are my standards. If you don't meet them, I'm fine by myself. And that's for dating, but also for friends. Like, this is what I want. I'm going to go kick ass. I'm going to go work hard. I'm going to focus on myself. And that's, if I happen to meet somebody along the way, great. Otherwise, whatever. And personally, I can say I used to have a very severe fear that I would settle one day, and I don't have that fear at all anymore. I would absolutely rather be alone.
Right.
Settle.
I think that's kind of where we are now. I was thinking about this earlier today, being almost 40, and I keep mentioning that. You're welcome, everyone. sending presents. How I have, again, we haven't met all of these expectations in life, or I haven't hit all of the milestones that I thought I was supposed to. And I was thinking about children today, and I'm thinking, am I abnormal that I don't even have an inkling of, yes, I need a child, I need to bear children, you know, or have something to take care of, and that I'm very happy with just being, quote-unquote, a dog mom, you know?
She has a candle that says that, everybody. I just want to put that out there.
I did not buy this for myself.
But you've got one. Anyway, I didn't mean to derail you.
I can't deny it. Anyway, but yeah, so all of those things have come to the point that I'm like, because I know my body is getting to the point that I'm not going to be able to have ability to have children, whether, you know, because my biological clock has quit on me or fell out or I pushed it out. However, you know, I've drunk it away, however you want to take it about it. But it's not something that I miss. It's not something that I feel like I'm going to regret because it's not coming to my mind.
Yeah.
And I just thought about that today and I was like, huh, I wonder how. Am I just a weird? Am I just an abnormal person? Is there something wrong with me? Because
right.
I don't even have those feelings and I expected to have it. But I think that's a question of, all right, so what does that mean? Because when we go back and forth about, all right, we're coming to the age that we are supposed to be in these places in our lives, but we miss those points. And to the point that I'm like, I care for myself. Mm-hmm. I do not have men to do these things for me. I do. My father, I know I could depend on him if I had questions, but he's not someone I go to often. He's not someone that I look to help me out all the time. I buy my own car. I buy my, you know, all of those things. Uh-huh. I sign off on my own insurance stuff. I make these decisions. Although I wish someone would make it for me sometimes.
Yeah.
It would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But all of those things that, you know, for the longest time, I thought I had to have a husband, a partner to do this with. Mm-hmm. Or that eventually would become something I would do with, you know, if I do end up buying a house, what does that look like?
Right.
And we no longer have to have that. That's not a requirement. And so therefore, all of these things are being met without the need for that partner.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And that's, we're not really going to talk about this today, but those are definitely other factors too. I think it's interesting that as life expectancy has gone on and with things like birth control, we're not making these decisions as young anymore, but people still do. And I wonder, because I thought I wanted kids when I was like probably up until 22 or something.
Yeah, I think I was like 28 when I thought I would still
want kids. There was a pretty long time when I was very convinced. And if I had found somebody I was really into and got pregnant, then maybe I would be.
Right.
It's just your brain changes and your wants changes, and it feels like, I just wonder how many things that are changing, a part of that is where we have access to birth control and, you know, we're thinking about, well, how can I afford this?
Right.
If you're telling me there's a wage gap and we haven't gotten raises in forever.
Right. And cost of living
has
changed constantly, but we don't get raises. As a government worker, I never got one.
Mm-hmm.
I think 2%. And by the way, 2% of minimum wage is not that much, essentially. But that's kind of the thing in everything else is when we look at the household, my household does not make up with a man in it. Mm-hmm. My household is me and my dog. Me and my dog, you know, and I think that's been the way it is, and that's going to be the way it is for a long while.
Yeah.
Even with being in a relationship or whatever, it's still not, I consider that as, hey, what are we going to do? Of course I'm going to be considerate and ask you to be a part of this or whatever, but you're not a part of my household.
Right.
You know, and it's kind of, to me, same as, like, my relationship with him is similar to my relationship with you in that friendship of, hey, you're coming over? Let's have dinner. I'm going to give you food. I'm going to give you drinks. I'm going to give you a pillow. I'm going to give you whatever you need. I got you, boo.
I'm getting a drawer.
You're getting a drawer.
I'm getting a drawer.
Which, again, is still more than he's got, so.
Well, as it should be. As it should be. And, yeah, we're definitely, like, I have friends who have the house, the household and the kids and the perfect, well, not perfect,
it's
partnership.
A beautiful thing.
And it is, yeah. We don't want to look down upon that at all. I think it's just changing how we view it and the multitude of experiences that can be encompassed in it.
I think that, we're noting the changes and the vast changes that are happening.
Yeah.
Because also, I know for a lot of people who have that set up who can't have children, who are unable to have children, you know, that's a heartbreaking part of their lives too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we need to acknowledge as well. And again, things are changing and hopefully changing for the better. Who knows? To have that as an accomplishment as well.
Right.
If that's what an accomplishment is for you.
Yeah. And we do have a little bit more, some concluding thoughts.
Ooh.
But first, we have one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride, we're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites!
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way!
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear!
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool!
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
we're back. Thank you, sponsor. So we've been kind of painting, I suppose you could categorize it as a rosy picture, other than the world is burning. But there's still a lot of things that are troubling that we need to combat. One, men still control much of the wealth and higher paid positions without access to things like paternity leave and affordable childcare. I personally don't think that's going to change anytime soon. As more women run for office and win, policies are getting proposed addressing these things. So that's good. That's progress. That's going to have a ripple effect on women and people everywhere. As we've said, a lot of these things are new. So there are growing pains, and we have not seen the full impact of these changes and what that impact will be. For instance, women do make up a majority of university students, but are nowhere near represented in college leadership. That's going to change, because as we see these waves of women graduate, it's just going to have to. And having women in those positions is going to set off a whole other chain of reactions and changes. And it's not going to be easy, and it's going to take time, but the ramifications of that are huge.
However, companies do see this as a failure in retention, often referring to it as a brain drain. Article after article offer advice to companies about how to retain women. And women who do rise up the corporate pyramid are highly sought after, and they're competitively paid, often earning higher raises. Yay. But the pool is still small. Boo. And of course, there's all this recent research that shows that companies that hire more women and have more women in leadership positions perform better. Corporations are taking note of all of this. Please do.
Yeah.
Instituting policies of flex time and mentor programs, which is a very great thing.
Yeah, and there are even courses at universities aimed at helping leaders cultivate more traditionally feminine traits like reading body language. And I actually taught one of these classes myself. Early research even suggests that people are starting to view women as more level-headed. And this is probably at least in part due to women for so long being gaslighted about being emotional, and also that level of perfectionism, which isn't healthy, but makes us push ourselves, that we've talked about before on the show. And also that whole women mature early thing, or girls mature earlier thing, which is now being turned around against men in some professional settings, as in they just take longer to mature. They'll get there eventually. However, as our society transforms, we're redefining what leadership looks like and the qualities that come with it. Another part of this, if you want to look at Brett Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford, we can see he's sort of freaking out, having the tantrums. Yeah, that we would generally point out for women, being emotional, while she was just even-keel, reasonable. But still, she got criticized. Well, I don't, whatever.
That's bitter.
And
now are hungry.
Yes, and burnout is another part of this conversation that we've talked about before. We're not really going to get into today, but these expectations on women to push themselves, it does lead to higher rates of burnout.
And of course, there are still barriers to access when it comes to women with lower incomes who can't afford a college education, which is by and large a prerequisite for a lot of what we're talking about. And women of color still face more obstacles than compared to white women. Black women, for instance, who face both sexism and racism in education and the workforce everywhere, are far likelier to be sole breadwinners for their households. And student debt is also obviously a huge problem, which is why it's going into a huge mode of debate.
Yeah. One study found that if American women participated in the workforce at the same rates of Canada or Germany, it would add $500 billion to our economy a year. A way to address this would be, again, paid paternity leave, flexible hours, equal pay, and affordable childcare. And another problem is the stereotypes are still there, that women can't lead, for one, impacting how both men and women see women's place in society. The statistics for women are still in a lot of ways bleak when you think about women dominating the lowest paying jobs while men dominate the highest, the rates of sexual assault and violence against women, the smaller things we've just for so long accepted, like constant exhaustion, harassment, having pain dismissed, not getting sexual satisfaction at the same rates. The picture for women in some areas of the world is definitely not as rosy as what we've been talking about today. Sex trafficking is at an all-time high, abuse, genital mutilation. As some people rise up, it's our responsibility to uplift others.
And all of this work isn't necessarily good for us either. It's stressful and exhausting. Men have more leisure time compared to women.
Yes. And we don't want to leave men behind. Feminism is about equality.
What?
Yes. Sexism hurts everyone, like we said. And one of the ways it has historically done that for men is keeping them from forming support groups, which would be helpful during this time of massive shift. It's alarming, but not too surprising that a lot of the support groups that have formed are men's rights groups that view women's increased agency as dangerous. Could tie into this. We don't really have time to talk about it today, but the conversation around the crisis of masculinity, toxic masculinity, will definitely come back to that.
Yeah, and just to kind of put this in there, because while we were reading, you and I had this big discussion, and yes, again, we're going to talk a little more about toxic masculinity and all of that. And I know we've been talking about it, and people have been talking about it, but and during our research, we found author and feminist Susan Faludi asked in her book, Stiff, The Betrayal of the American Man, if perhaps we're looking at the problem and even solution incorrectly. She writes, "Today it is men who cling more tightly to their illusions. They would rather see themselves as battered by feminism than shaped by the larger culture. Feminism can be demonized as just an, quote, unnatural force to try to wrest men's natural power and control from their grasp. Culture, by contrast, is the whole environment we live in. To acknowledge its sway is to admit that men never had the power / control they imagined. To say that men are embedded in the culture is to say, by the current standards of masculinity, that they are not men." So this could all be a whole other conversation about the reality of misogyny and the idea of what control and what does it look like when we take a closer look at the root of the idea of misogyny and power. And again, we do want to look deeper into this in future episodes of The Root and possible underlying questions in unraveling misogyny, which, yes, huge astronomical conversation. But yeah. Hey, we got some time, right?
Yes, and I would love to talk about that because when I was thinking about all this, again, this is the stuff that gets me going.
Right.
And I've been thinking a lot about control and what that means, what that looks like, and what a world that was actually about equality, what that would look like, and dismantling these systems we've put in place that have oppressed people.
Exactly. And then just the fact that the word control is a heavy word, heavy-handed word.
Yeah.
And it is used in a very negative connotation right now. I think that when you use that word, that means power over someone. That's mm-hmm. automatic.
Yeah.
Whether it means that or not, whether it's controlling your emotions, whatever, it's still power over something. And that in itself causes fear
mm-hmm.
and a lot of questions.
It does. It does. And if you have a lot of questions for us,
what?
You can send them to us. Our email is stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can also find us on Instagram at Stuff Mom Never Told You and on Twitter at Mom Stuff Podcast. Thanks as always to our super producer, Andrew Howard.
Yes, thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff Mom Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise, all things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.